I hereby introduce to you Mr. Michael Veazey.
Hey, 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 welcome to Amazing FBA, the place to be for UK-based Amazon entrepreneurs. I'm your host, Michael Veazey. Welcome to the show. Starting a business on your own can be lonely and worrying. Selling online multiplies this issue tenfold. Getting expert help is a great way to reduce anxiety, wasted time, and confusion. The Amazing FBA Mentoring Program is in its fourth year of helping sellers to get started on Amazon. By now, we have former clients who have, starting from scratch, done six figures and even in one case, seven figures a year. Obviously, these are not typical results. These are exceptional people. Nevertheless, we can help you get launched faster, safer, and with a much higher chance overall of success. With clients from Melbourne, Australia to Manchester, England, we bring a genuinely international perspective. To find out more, go to amazingfba.com/mentoring. Thanks for listening. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Mr. and Mrs. Mayor, welcome to Amazing FBA. This is your host, Michael Veazey. Warm welcome to the show. Today, it's appropriate that I'm speaking to you standing up. I recently spoke at the White Label Expo in London in November 2019. Now, I can't reveal anything yet about this, but I've got some exciting speaking engagements coming up that I want to share with you. That I just got off the phone with somebody earlier today that offered me a very exciting opportunity, which I've said yes, please, with both hands. And I just got off the phone after that with somebody who I've been exploring working with as a mentoring client who actually has some very serious capital behind him and a lot of business experience. In the end, we are discussing the possibility that I may work with them as a sort of partner or part of the team or more of an agency basis, I guess, than on a simple consulting basis. And what struck me about this is also relevant to what I was talking about with the five business models that I mentioned in the last podcast, which is to say retail arbitrage, online arbitrage, wholesale relationships, private label, and agency model, the five main ways that I know of and that people that I know work with to make themselves money on Amazon and build businesses of various different kinds. And what I was reflecting was the common thread amongst some of these things that I'm really conscious of today of all days is relationships. Again, people could get a bit separated between the reality of what drives money transactions online and the mechanism itself. So the mechanism itself is kind of magic. I mean, if you've got something like Amazon is kind of magic because it manages to bring millions and millions and millions and millions of eyeballs every single day to look at products. And the conversion rates are incredible. They produce an amazing customer experience, which includes incredible ability to fulfill products. In other words, they ship stuff, they store stuff. They have an incredible machine that they built over many, many years of hard work, by the way. This was not always the case. These things don't grow out of nowhere. They've worked incredibly hard and they were first movers as well. And plus Jeff Bezos, whatever else you may think of their various business practices, is the sharpest guy probably on the planet right now, for my money, at least in the tech startup space. There may be somebody sharper than him coming up through the ranks, going to take his crown, but he's smart enough to know that. So for my money, he's still the most proven smart guy out there. And guess what? The reality of it is that behind every transaction, although they have built this wonderful magic machine, and it is kind of magic when it works, and it often does, even though anyone who's been selling on Amazon for a while knows that, you know, you have to take the rough with the smooth. But when it works, it's like magic. But the thing is, on the other side of that transaction is a person buying a product. And the more, I'm always banging on about this, and I make no apologies for that, the more you understand your customer, if you're going to be private labeling anyway, or anything where you get to influence the listing. So if you're working with a wholesale account, if you have some listing control, you certainly should do this as well. You've got to really, really, really meet the customer where they are. So you have to understand the mentality. So in the end, it's about people, and the processes are a way to bridge a gap between the person producing a product and the consumer. Another thing to say is that, of course, relationships enter the equation when you talk about suppliers. So if you are private labeling, you have a relationship with the guys in your factories. And actually, if you're a serious private labeler, as one of the mastermind members in the 10K Collective mastermind recently experienced when he went to China. I think it was actually last year. They went there. They literally had the red carpet experience. I had all the people lined up along the streets on the way to the factory. They had military music playing and, you know, the usual, the whole nine yards, as they say. So this is an example of how important they had become to that factory based on, it has to be said, the relationship is based on volume when it comes to suppliers of physical products, the manufacturers, as we'd like to call suppliers. In fact, suppliers can include anybody who you pay for services or products. So to put in a broader sense, that includes people like your coaches or mentors or person who runs a mastermind, such as the my guys in the mastermind have in the 10K Collective Mastermind. It includes your photographer. It includes anyone who writes your listings for you. It includes any agency that you might use for managing your PPC or Amazon ad, for example. And those are all relationships. Yes, they may be mediated via websites, via online software, whatever. But the main thing to remember is that all this stuff is man-made, or it is person-made, I should say, artificial. Now, what does the word artificial mean? It means made by hand, artificial, so made by hand. So it is not something that grows organically like a tree or something, right? All these things are created by people for people. And if we lose sight of that, then we lose sight of what, for me personally, and maybe this is not a software engineer's way of looking at the world or an engineer's way of looking at the world. For me personally, what's behind all of this stuff is, in the end, relationships. Wholesale is an interesting one where we have probably even more of a delicate and important relationship with the people that you buy wholesale from. Now, I have to say, cards on the table, that is something I have almost no personal experience of. I'm learning, going through a course at the moment. I'm learning all about that. I'm very, very excited to get out and try my hand at this. But I know that in the end, sometimes these distinctions between the business models are artificial anyway, because I was looking to have a relationship with a brand owner, or in fact doesn't own a brand yet, but somebody who's got a serious business but is looking to branch into private labeling. I was going to have the conversation about having a consulting relationship with them. And then, in fact, we're probably going to have more of an agency relationship where I'll actually help implement a lot of this stuff. And maybe I'll end up hiring some more staff to deal with that. I've got a sort of skeleton staff that I can turn to Amazon-specific activity. But that's certainly something that we can develop out as needed. And then, of course, the next thing I'm going to be doing is trying to get the same sort of relationship with some wholesale brands who I might initially start off with a relationship where I just give them money and they sell me products, and we might end up in a sort of partnership. So I guess what I'm saying about this includes even speaking for at conferences or anything like that. Again, it's a partnership, because the conferences need speakers, and speakers like me need to get exposure of their brand and their message. So in the end, so much in my experience of the business world comes down to the same stuff that I experienced in the music world, which, even though I've been doing the e-commerce as my main business and my main, if you like, job or profession for several years now, that I still keep my hand in with music and I still love my music. And there's not actually as much of a division as I thought, because in the end, I think the thing that I found most powerful, most exciting in music making was relationships between a performer and an audience, between the conductor and the orchestra, or if you like, the leader and the team, and between people in a duo partnership where you have a singer working with a pianist or something. In the end, what always interested me is relationships. I love music. Also very fascinated by the intellectual game and the sort of sport, if you like, of business, because in the end, you have skin in the game. And as Nicholas Nalim, I can never say his name, Nassim Nicholas Taleb, forgive me if I butchered it, Mr. Taleb, says having skin in the game basically makes you make better decisions, so effectively makes you smarter. And I love that about business. But the common thread through all of this stuff that struck me very, very strongly today after two really powerful phone calls with people is relationships. Now, how do you start all of this? If you're starting from scratch, I think you need to just be a couple of things. You need a bit of structure. So create a relationship with somebody who can help train you. And that doesn't just mean a mentor or a coach, although it could well include that. It probably means a group of your peers. Now, I think you should be selective about who you mean by peers, because the people who aren't taking action is a majority of people in any course, for example. They aren't your peers. If you're an action taker, by the way, reality check. If you're one of the people that talks a lot and doesn't take much action, and I've been that person every so often, and I can still end up in there if I don't kick myself in the butt and get on with it, then your peers are the people doing the same thing as you, right? So just be real about that. You're not going to get let into a group of action takers if you're not an action taker. So you've got to start, it's chicken and egg, but you've got to start yourself. You've got to have some hunger yourself. You can't depend on other people to do the work for you, which is another thing about partnerships, I guess. Even if you're a more sophisticated person, if you're a private label seller and you're considering possibly branching into running an agency, or if you are a private label seller and you want to sort of add wholesale to add some stability to the mix or easier cash flow, whatever it is, then again, a lot of it comes down to your ability and courage in relationships. And as Dan Meadows said the other day, who teaches wholesale, but it's true, I think, across all sorts of business models within the e-commerce and Amazon sphere, as well as more broadly, the truth is with a relationship, if you are very, very geared to what the other person in the relationship needs, to serving that person, and you are determined to serve them, whether or not you're immediately getting paid, or even if you never get paid, then that mentality, that orientation to the rest of the world will serve you very, very well. And that reminds you of Jay Abraham's strategy of preeminence, much talked about by Andre Chaperon, who not coincidentally is one of the few marketers whose emails I consume every single time I get one. And that's unheard of. I mean, the other person is Perry Marshall, those two. And he is always talking about the strategy of preeminence, which is to say you make the decision up front that whether or not, or before any money changes hands, you are going to make it your business to look after the needs of your client or consumer. And I believe that that's the ultimate basis for a great relationships in business, probably in life, but I'm not a life coach, but it certainly is within e-commerce. If you make it your mission to serve your customer better than everybody else as a private label seller, for example, developing a product, you win. If you make it your mission as somebody who's doing a wholesale relationship business or reverse sourcing wholesale, whatever you want to call it, to serve the brands that you buy from and eventually maybe become the exclusive representative of on Amazon, if you make it your mission to serve their needs, you win, where everyone else is just treating them like, yes, just another account, just another make a phone call, say goodbye, that's it. You treat it as a valuable relationship and you're there to serve them. You win. If you are running an agency, obviously it is a service-based business, pure and simple, in the sense that you don't have your own capital tied up normally, unless you take equity positions or whatever. But again, you're there to serve. So whether you're a beginner or more advanced, I just think this reality just really dawned on me today that I'm reaping some of the fruits of some of the things that I've been sowing out there. And I think what it comes down to is, yes, there's no substitute for competence, for sure. And you must get good training if you're new to something, in my opinion, because you're just going to waste a lot of time. But you also must get experience. Those two are not, there's no substitute for those ever. And BSing about those isn't a good plan either. If you're fairly new to things, you might as well be honest about it, but don't try and come across as a resourceful person that has a certain degree of, if you like, pride, even though you aren't necessarily sophisticated yet. And that can be true if you're a private labeler contracting a supplier, but you've been in the business of, I don't know, fishing rod. You've run a fishing club for 20 years. You could claim some kind of background of 20 years in the fishing industry or something like that. So you can put a nice confidence spin on things, but don't lie. Be confident, but be honest. And that's another great couple of things in a relationship. So if you're confident, but you're honest, that's a rare combination already. You're ahead of the game. And if you are aiming to serve people, then I think you're well placed. Now, I'm not here to give relationship advice as such. I am talking squarely within what I've experienced this very day from relationships within the e-commerce and specifically Amazon industry. So I'm not generalizing here, but it struck me very forcibly that in the end, a lot of this stuff comes down to relationships. You need to have a great network of great people around you, and you need to treat each other with respect. And if you do that over time, you'll have a great opportunity to grow any kind of business, but it absolutely is true in the product business, even though you're dealing with products, not services most of the time. And even though it's online, not offline, don't be fooled. There are human relationships behind all of this stuff. And if you approach them the right way and you recognize that reality, then you still stand a good chance of getting ahead of your competition, who are mostly just treating people like numbers, which is a huge mistake, and who are not recognizing that behind the computer is a human being. Thanks very much for listening.
That's it
thank you so much for your attention. I really appreciate it. Now, over to you. First, 80-20 everything. Learn the critical few. Maybe there's one thing in this podcast that can make all the difference. Find that thing. 20% of inputs, give 80% of the outputs. Which are the critical few for you? Then take action. Imperfect action beats perfect inaction every single time. Finally, and not least, review. If you've made mistakes, learn from them. If you've made a success, duplicate it. You can't do that unless you look back. So in summary, learn the critical few, then do, then review. And then, my friend, it's up to you. That's it. Thank you so much for your attention. Speak to you in the next episode.